Hallelujah. I've been doing this for 25 years, standing up and talking in front of people. And you can tell when it's going in, and you can tell when it's bouncing off and coming back at you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make a decision, you're going to receive. You didn't come to resist. Amen? Make a decision. I came to receive this morning. I came to receive. I was led here by the Spirit of God, and I'm not going to be talked out of having my need met. Amen? I'm not going to be talked out of what God has for me. Amen? Now, we're going to be going back and forth between Isaiah and Matthew and some of the other books in the Gospels. Amen? That's why I've asked you to put your finger there. Hallelujah. We'll probably start in Matthew. You'd be believing God with me this morning. Amen? Because this isn't the Pastor John show. It's not about the show. It's about God's presence. It's about God's Word. I need help. I need you to place a demand on my spirit this morning. Place a demand on the teaching office that God has put in my spirit. Pull on it with your faith. Expect God to talk to you today. It'll help me up here. It'll help me up here. If you'll pull on me, amen? Don't just sit there like a log on a bump. Or a bump on a log. Amen? Sit there and pull. Expect. What do you mean pull, Pastor? I mean expect the Holy Ghost to talk to you. Amen? And if I'm annoying you, please don't let me know. Amen? You'll miss your blessing. You'll miss your miracle. You'll miss your impartation. You came here today for an impartation. And there will be one. You'll have your needs met supernaturally if you'll just believe and be nice. That's my job. Amen? It's a little pastoral counsel. Oh, he's griping and complaining. No, I'm not. I'm overriding somebody who's griping and complaining on the inside and grieving God. You don't have to stay here. I would suggest that you do. It'll change your life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, glory be to God. The book of Isaiah is a very interesting book in that it has 66 chapters. It's kind of like a replica of the Bible. It has 66 chapters, and there's 66 books in the Bible. Did you ever think about that? You ever noticed that before? The first 37 chapters of the book of Isaiah are about the law and judgment. The first 37 chapters. The first 37 books of the Old Testament about law are about law and judgment. Did you get that? 39, I'm sorry, 39. Let me get it to you again. That's why I got married. There's 66 books in the Bible. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah. The first 39 books of the Bible are called the Old Testament. And they're about law and judgment. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are about law and judgment. The second 27 books of the Bible are called the New Testament. And they're about salvation in Christ. The second 27 chapters of Isaiah are about salvation in Christ. Did you get that?
Yeah.
I blew it. Barbara fixed it, so there. Isaiah is like a little mini Bible. 66 chapters divided into 39 chapters about law and judgment and justice. The remaining 27 about salvation in Christ. Just like the books of the Bible. That's supernatural. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, you're there in Matthew chapter... What? Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. I told you that on purpose. I want you to know Isaiah is a supernatural book. Amen? You go right here, if you would, to Matthew... hallelujah! Matthew 1. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, and let's pick it up in your Bible in verse 18. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and the life and ministry of Jesus today. I want to talk to you about miracles and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see something fascinating in the Word of God this morning. I'm going to move quickly. I'm going to do my best to give you opportunity to turn to as many of these scriptures as possible with me. So you do your best to stay up with me. Don't read ahead of me. You'll get lost. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now we would say Holy Spirit. They said ghost. We know better. A ghost means spirit. Amen? She was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Mary was found to be with child of who? The Holy Spirit. Amen? When Jesus began his life on earth as a human being, that wasn't the beginning of Jesus' life. And we need to know this. Amen? Jesus' life on earth was not the beginning of his life. Micah 5:2 says that Jesus going forth has been from everlasting. From everlasting. We usually use everlasting and we say to everlasting. We think everlasting in terms of the future. But the Bible speaks of everlasting in terms of the past. Jesus lived in eternity with God in the Holy Spirit from everlasting. The person of Jesus, Jesus the Spirit man, not the human Jesus, he lived in heaven from eternity past with Almighty God. You understand that, don't you? Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't conceived the way a human baby is conceived. Amen? We're all adults. We know how babies are conceived. Amen? The stork doesn't bring them. If you've been believing that and you're this old, I'm sorry to have to tell you, the stork doesn't bring babies. Children are conceived through the act of sexual intercourse. Now, don't get angry with me for saying that. Some people do. If you can't talk about sex in church, where can you talk about sex? On the street? God created sex for pleasure and for procreation. It's okay to say it. Hallelujah. People get angry with me for the things I say. Amen. I don't say it to be offensive. I'm trying to make a point with you. Jesus wasn't conceived that way. Jesus was conceived, the Bible says, by an act of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was conceived, it was not the conception of a human personality or of a living personality, let me say. It was the conception of a human nature. His personality and his person and his presence has existed from eternity past. He always existed. His conception was the beginning of his human life. When the Bible says, this day, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee, it's talking about the human Jesus, not the divine Jesus. And we need to know that. Amen? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. How it happened? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. All we know is our precious Jesus somehow got himself into a little seed, and the Holy Spirit put him in a woman's womb, and he lived there for 9 months, and he entered into this earth through the natural door of a woman's womb. It's easy for me to say, just like everybody else in this room. But it was not the beginning of his life or his personality. It was the beginning of his human nature, and the Holy Spirit did that. Amen. We're talking about the Holy Spirit today. Amen? And the life and ministry of Jesus. Amen? The eternal pre-existent one, Jesus Christ, entered legally into the realm of humanity through the natural door of a woman's womb, through what one of the world's religions calls the miraculous or immaculate conception. That's a good way to say it. That's okay. Isn't it? Hallelujah. Go to Philippians chapter 2. It's 10 books to the right of Matthew, if you don't know where it is. Amen. I want to show you something. As I continue to talk to you for time's sake this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ became as human as you and as human as me in order to come into this earth and personally pay the high price for our sins. And he did it by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Please say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Oh, some people. I've had people tell me, you shouldn't talk about the Holy Spirit. You should talk about Jesus. Well, come on. We talk about the Trinity, Elohim, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Holy Spirit is a person. He has a mind. He has a will. He has an intellect. He has emotions. He has a spirit body, just like Father God has a spirit body. He looks just like us. It's just of a higher materiality. It's a spirit body. It's not a flesh body. He is a person. 10 times in John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as He, not as it. He's not an impersonal force. He's a person. He's a person. He's not a people, but He's a person. He has a personality. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's through His agency that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. How does that happen? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. All we know is we take it by faith. That's what believers do. Believers believe. That's why Jesus called us believers, because we believe. Amen? Now look at something that Jesus did in coming to the earth in Philippians chapter 2. You be believing God with me this morning. Amen? Verse 7. I'm going to pick it up. Jesus in verse 7 made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Do you see that? Next verse says, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant. One translation of the Bible says, Jesus ditched His godness in coming to the earth to become a human being to pay the penalty for our sins. Another translation of the Bible says, He stripped Himself of deity and humbled Himself like unto the fashion of a man. Jesus Christ stripped Himself of godness in coming to planet earth to pay the penalty for our sins, to become one of us, to legally qualify Himself to pay for our sins. Although He was sinless, He did that. He did that through the supernatural agency of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ never performed one miracle having come into this earth that we know of until after having been stripped of His deity, after having ditched His godness. He went over there to Matthew chapter 3. You all know the account if you're familiar with Scripture at all. He was water baptized by John the prophet, and when He came up out of the water in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, the Holy Spirit of God like a dove came upon Him from heaven, and He was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was only after He was filled with the Holy Spirit that He ever performed one miracle at 30 years of age. We have no record of Jesus ever performing anything remotely related to the supernatural until He received the baptism with the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 3. It was the Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus Christ to be a miracle worker. The same Holy Spirit who's in the earth today. The same Holy Spirit who's on the inside of you if you're born again and you have received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit. Go over, if you would, real quick now to Isaiah chapter 48. Jesus did everything He did in life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only was He conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, but before that ever even happened, the Bible says He was sent from heaven by the Holy Spirit. And Isaiah, are you there in Isaiah chapter 48? We're going somewhere with this. Amen? And you will be blessed. It is so, because I say it is so. Amen? That's what I'm believing for you. In Isaiah 48:16, pick it up in the middle of that clause where it says, and now the Lord God and His who? Only two people saw that, huh? And now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. Who sent Jesus into the earth? His Spirit. The Father God. And His Spirit. Jesus was sent into the earth by the Holy Spirit. That word sent, by the way, the Holy Spirit, the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Isaiah 48:16. Isaiah 48:16. The Lord God and His Spirit, you got to see it, has sent me. That word sent is sown towards a harvest. That's what that word actually says. The Lord God and the Holy Spirit has sown me into the earth, Jesus said, towards a harvest of souls. This is why you're here on this earth right now today. God is looking to build a family of moral free agents who will serve Him eternally as the conscious act of their own free will all through eternity. That's why you're here in the earth right now. So you can make a decision to be a part of the Father's forever family. Jesus was sown into this earth to reap a harvest of souls of all who would believe that God sent Him to pay the penalty for their sins. But it all happened by the agency of who? The Holy Spirit. He sent Jesus. He conceived Him in the womb. Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 2. Told you we're going to move around. Jesus was conceived, as we've seen, in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, found to be with child of the Holy Spirit, Mary was. He was sent into this earth by the person, say the person, the person of the Holy Spirit in His physical, His intellectual, in His spiritual growth. All attributed to the Holy Spirit. Are you in Luke chapter 2? Look what it says right here in verse 40. And the child grew. That's Jesus. 2:40. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Now that has a little S on it and should have a big S, because when you look it up, it's a reference to the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit. The child, Jesus, waxed strong by the agency of the Holy Spirit, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You see that? Listen, Jesus wasn't created, as you know, a full-grown man like Adam. He came into the earth through a seed, and then an embryo, and then a fetus. What comes first, the embryo and then the fetus? Whatever. Whatever the order is, the Holy Spirit knows that He got it right. Amen? And Jesus was birthed. He was not born into the earth a full-grown man like Adam. He came as a baby to make up for the mistakes that Adam made. That's why Jesus is called in the Bible the second Adam. Did you know that? Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15:45, then, if you didn't know, you can write it down. He's called the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15:45. It says the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second Adam, Jesus, is a quickening spirit. Jesus came to repair the mistakes the first Adam made. That's why He's called the second Adam in Scripture. Amen? But He didn't come into the earth as a full-grown man like Adam. He came like a baby and grew up just like you and me. Except He didn't possess all the shortcomings of a sinful nature. When He came to the age of accountability and He saw the difference between right and wrong, He chose right. We all chose wrong. Amen? Hallelujah. He was 12 years old. By the agency of the Holy Spirit, He's in the temple teaching the doctors of the law. Because He said, Isaiah 50, verse 4, put it in your notes. He said, the Holy Spirit wakes me up morning after morning with the ear of the learned. Holy Spirit woke Jesus up every day and taught Him the Bible. Amen? The same Holy Spirit who sent Him here, conceived Him in the virgin's womb, taught Him Holy Scripture. That's why Jesus was able to say in Psalm 119, 97-102, put it in your notes, look it up later. He said, the Holy Spirit has given me more wisdom than all my teachers. The doctors of the law who taught Jesus the Scripture, who helped Him to learn the Scripture, well, the Holy Spirit taught him more. And the Holy Spirit gave a 12-year-old boy more wisdom than all the doctors of the law who lived in the time that he walked in the earth. The Holy Spirit did that. You see that? The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, or by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 11. Take a quick look at me. A tour through the Bible. That's why I told you. You go to Isaiah and go to Matthew. We're going to flip-flop back and forth and you're going to see some Scripture. Amen. This is why we encourage people. Bring your Bible to church with you. Amen. Put it in a sack if you're ashamed of it till you get over it. But get the thing down here. Amen. We'll crack it open together. We'll learn something. Amen. And things will stop happening to us and start happening for us for a change.
Amen.
You're not here to do your own thing.
Amen.
You're on probation, baby. You're on probation. You are going to spend eternity based upon how effectively you obey God while you are in this earth. Now, I'm shouting, I know, but I'm smiling too. I'm not angry with anybody, but I'll tell you, I'm angry with the devil for the deception he pumps into God's family. keeps them off course. Amen? I got a true pastor's heart. I don't like to see the sheep deceived. I don't like to see the wolf nipping at their heels. I don't like to see them go in their holes in the fence and get away. Amen? I want to see people helped, and I want to see people blessed. Amen? Everything Jesus did, He did by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Everything we do in this earth, we will do by the agency of the Holy Spirit as well. If Jesus is this dependent upon the Holy Spirit during His earth walk, how much more dependent are we on the Holy Spirit during our earth walk? Nikki, you getting anything out of this? Yeah, he is. I can tell. Hallelujah. So I keep coming over here. It's going right into him. Hallelujah. Sit in the front. Hallelujah. If you like. Isaiah chapter 11. Are you there? Verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. That's Jesus. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Jesus. Look at this. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, knowledge, and the fear, or the awesome respect of God. Jesus' wisdom and knowledge. Woo! He was the wisest man to ever walk in this earth. And he said in his own word, I got it all from the Holy Spirit. That's why that person walked up to me full of the devil and said, you shouldn't talk about the Holy Spirit. He said, get behind me, Satan. Know why you don't want me to talk about the Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. Not talking about the Holy Spirit is blocking the spot where the power comes out. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. We talk about the Trinity. They're called Elohim. It means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And if the Father wakes me up in the morning and says, you make sure the Holy Ghost gets equal time, I will make sure the Holy Ghost gets equal time.
Amen?
Amen? Or he'll find somebody who will. I like my job. You didn't hire me. You can't fire me. But he hired me, and he can fire me. Amen? Hallelujah. So, obeying God's the rule of the house around here. Amen? Jesus was perfect. He was complete in his divinity. But his humanity developed just like yours and just like mine. Do you understand that? Amen? He had to be taught by the Holy Spirit just like you. Just like me. Amen? I already told you. We'll go look at it. Matthew chapter 3. Quickly, get over there. That's why I asked you to go to Isaiah and Matthew. We'll go back and forth. You're being greatly blessed by this.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I love the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said it's expedient that I leave you here and go back to heaven. Otherwise, if I don't, the Holy Spirit can't come. We don't want to try to live in this earth without the Holy Ghost. Jesus wouldn't even take a run at that. Jesus wouldn't even come into the earth and live without the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to? Amen? Can't get the job done without the Holy Spirit. Look right here. Here's where he received the Holy Spirit at 30 years of age. You know, he's missing in Scripture between 12 and 30. You know that, don't you? There's 18 years he's gone. You know where he was? He wasn't on the internet. He wasn't watching TV. Amen? He wasn't playing basketball. Nothing wrong with basketball. He wasn't playing baseball. He was playing some games with his friends, I'm sure. But he's studying the Father's Word for those missing 18 years. That's where he was. Him and the Holy Ghost. He said in Isaiah 54, the Holy Spirit wakes me up every morning and teaches me with the ear of the learned. That boy knew Scripture. Amen? And here at 30 years old, he's anointed by the Holy Spirit for power, for public ministry. Are you there in Matthew 3? 16. Jesus, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, went up straightway out of the water. You see how Jesus was water baptized? He wasn't sprinkled. He was wholly immersed and he came up out of the water. Sprinkle in, don't get the job done. Say, Pastor, I really love you, man. I need a little assurance here this morning. Amen. I'm not getting enough attention today. Hallelujah. He came up out of the water. The heavens were opened unto him. And he actually saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now this particular bestowal that we just read of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' life was for the purpose of officially equipping him for public ministry. Before this time in Scripture, we have no evidence of Jesus ever performing a miracle. No indication at all that he ever did. But all of a sudden, go to Luke chapter 4. All of a sudden, after the baptism with the Holy Spirit and power, he's out there performing supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? I'm going to just show you right over there what Jesus said about it too. Only after his River Jordan experience did Jesus stand up and publicly declare, right here in Luke chapter 4, say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Say oh my if you're still looking. Okay, verse 18. Look what Jesus said in the synagogue after receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit. First time he said it, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he, not it, he is not an impersonal force. He's a person, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has anointed me, Jesus said, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are bruised. Now, it's customary to believe that Jesus performed all the miracles that he did because of some intrinsic ability he had as the Son of God. It's not true. He stripped himself of deity in Philippians chapter 2, humbled himself like unto the fashion of a man, went down to the River Jordan, received the baptism with the Holy Spirit and power, turned around, walked into the synagogue, and he said, now the Holy Ghost is on me, and he's the one who enables me to cast out unclean spirits, heal the sick, raise the dead, meet the needs of the poor. Who did Jesus say did that in his life? The Holy Spirit of God. You getting anything out of this? I know that I am. Go to Acts chapter 10. This is good. Amen? You're going to Acts 10. I'll just remind you that Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says that Jesus was led out into the wilderness. Remember that? By the Holy Spirit. By who? By the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to try out his new weapons. Right after, in Matthew chapter 3, he received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost turned right around, sent him out in the wilderness and said, now I'm going to take you out here and I'm going to show you how this power works against the devil. Amen? Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit to do everything he did. He could do nothing without the Holy Spirit. He himself said so. He even said the Holy Spirit enabled him to heal the sick in the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit spoke it through the Apostle Peter. Would you like to read it with me? Look right there in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Are you there? Still looking? Need time? Acts chapter 10. Want you to see it with me. Amen. How God, in verse 38. How God, and by the way, that word anoint means to rub and to smear all over. He rubbed and smeared all over Jesus of Nazareth. With who? The Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is the most clearest scripture, verse in all of scripture, that reveals it was the Holy Ghost that anointed Jesus Christ with power. And Jesus went about doing what? Good. Healing all who were oppressed of who? All goodnesses of God, all oppression of any kind is the devil. Cancer, it's the devil. Blood diseases, the devil. I'm not saying if you're sick, you're full of the devil. I'm telling you that God didn't do it. Don't give him the bum rap. Gee, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, oppressed of the devil, oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That means God's doing it too. God's putting his stamp of approval on Jesus going about delivering people from demonic oppression by the power of who? The Holy Spirit. You see how dependent Jesus was upon the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Jesus said so himself. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 12 real quick. This is a wonderful little Bible study this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
Nick?
Amen.
Nick? Hallelujah. Appreciate you helping me out here this morning. He is. I'm coming over here. It's easy to preach over here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not that it's bad over here. Not at all. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus himself said that it was the Holy Spirit who enabled him not only to be sent into the earth, not only to be birthed in the earth, not only to heal the sick, not only who taught him the scripture. Jesus himself said it was the Holy Spirit who anointed him to cast out unclean spirits. Right here in Matthew chapter 12, if you look with me in verse 26, we have to move quickly. Amen? Verse 26, if Satan, he had just cast a deaf and dumb spirit out of a person, and the Pharisees said he's doing it by the power of the devil. The Pharisees always accused Jesus of getting his power from the devil. That's a dumb thing to say. You're accusing the Holy Ghost of being the devil. Somebody said, Pastor Himmel gets his power from the devil. I prayed for a woman who had a tumor as big as her eyeball behind her eye. She had another one in her breast and another one behind her knee. And I prayed for her, and all three of them within 2 weeks were gone. She came back and said to me, I don't know if that was God. She said that was so supernatural. It was confirmed by her doctor. So supernatural. I don't know if that was God or if it was the devil. I think it was the devil. I said, you don't want to go calling the Holy Ghost the devil. Now that's who did that for you. Well, I think it was the devil. It was just too supernatural. I think it was the devil. Within 2 weeks, they all came back. And that woman's life went to ruin. Fell away from the things of God, got in all kinds of trouble. Her children got in all kinds of trouble after that. Without realizing what she was doing, she was calling the Holy Spirit the devil. That's what the Pharisees did with Jesus all the time. They said, you cast out unclean spirits by the power of Beelzebub, Satan, the Lord of the flies. Look what Jesus said to them in verse 26. If Satan casts out Satan, well, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? Jesus said, even the devil has enough sense to not cast his own spirits out. He's looking to grow his kingdom, not diminish it. He said, Jesus is telling that's defied even by logic, let alone scripture. You snake faces. That's what he called them. He said, you generation of vipers, you bunch of snake faces. Look at what he said in verse 28, if you would. But if I cast out devils by who? There's the capital S. There's the Holy Spirit. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. You see that? Jesus said he cast out unclean spirits by the same Holy Spirit who wants to live in you if he doesn't already. Jesus said in John 14:12, he said, the works that I do, you will do also. Only greater works you will do, because I go to be with the Father. What did he mean, I go to be with the Father? Well, he said it another place in Scripture, it's expedient that I go back to heaven, because if I don't, I can't send the Holy Ghost back to you. So when he said, greater works you will do than me, because I go to the Father, he meant this, when I go back, the Holy Ghost will come off me, I won't need him in heaven anymore, I'll send him back on you corporately, and he'll live in all of you, and you can all do the same works that I did. Well, how come I don't see it happening, Pastor? Well, attitude is everything, number one. Amen? You got that kind of an attitude. Demon spirits are cast out all over the world every day. Sick people are healed all over the world every day. My personal friend, Ronald Coyne, had no left eyeball and he could see through an empty eye socket. Geraldo Rivera, Oprah Winfrey, Phil Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael, all those talk shows had him on repeatedly. And he'd take that. He did it in our church on two times. Popped out his eyeball, and I covered his good eye. Give me a handkerchief, somebody. With a handkerchief folded 8 times, put it over his eye, taped it down with adhesive tape, popped out his eyeball, put it on the pulpit, and he read everything everybody brought to him to read in 2 services and didn't miss a beat. Magazines, newspapers, birth certificates, medical licenses, driver's licenses. It's happening. It's happening all over the earth today, the supernatural miracles by the agency of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't believe in the supernatural, you don't believe in miracles, God's not going to come banging on your door and bother you against your free will. He gave you free will. He's not even going to violate your free will to help you. You have to ask him. You have to tell him that you believe. So if you don't believe in the supernatural, you don't believe in miracles, you're offended by the message of miracles, don't you worry a bit. God's not going to bother you with miracles. Because He loves you. If that's the way you want it, that's the way it'll be. You can die and go to hell if you want, and God won't stop you, even though it's not His will. You have to make the decision, as a conscious act of your own free will, to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, if you want to pass up hell and make heaven. Hallelujah. Get over there real quick to Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to have to close it out here in a minute. Amen? I want you to know, not only was Jesus sent into the earth by the Holy Spirit, not only was He conceived in a virgin's womb by the Holy Spirit, not only was He anointed to heal the sick by the Holy Spirit, not only was He anointed to cast out unclean spirits by the Holy Spirit, not only was He anointed by the person of the Holy Spirit to study and to learn Scripture the way that He did, Jesus died. Jesus died with the help of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't enough for Jesus to just go to the cross with a bad attitude, them stinking humans, if only they knew how to act right, I wouldn't have to do this. Well, God wouldn't accept that. Amen? Stupid, carnal, dumb lambs. What's wrong with those people make me have to go through something like this? God wouldn't accept that. Jesus had to go to the cross with a loving attitude. It wouldn't be acceptable to the God of love otherwise. He had to go willingly and obediently. And He did it all with the help of the Holy Spirit. He not only lived with the help of the Holy Spirit, He died on the cross for you with the help of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9, are you there?
Yes.
Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot, it actually says faultlessly, to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Will you look at that? Jesus went to the cross faultlessly with a perfect attitude, an attitude of love and willingness to die for you and for me by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Couldn't have done it without Him. Do you see He was sent by the Holy Spirit? Do you see He was conceived by the Holy Spirit? Do you see He learned Scripture the way that He knew Scripture? Faultlessly? By the Holy Spirit? Do you see He healed the sick by the Holy Spirit? Do you see He cast out unclean spirits by the Holy Spirit? Do you see He died by the Holy Spirit? Go to Romans chapter 8, because He also rose by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Jesus was absolutely, totally, completely dependent upon the person of the Holy Spirit the entire time He was in this earth. If He was that dependent upon the Holy Spirit, how much more are we dependent upon the Holy Spirit? You know, half of the, you know, depression, you're going to Romans chapter 8, and suicide are as prevalent in the body of Christ as they are in the world. Do you realize if you'd pray in the Holy Spirit every day, you'd be charging your spiritual battery, and depression would just automatically leave you, and suicide would have no place in you? If you just pray in tongues. The Bible says in Jude 20, now you're at Romans 8, and you're going to stay there, and we're going to close in a minute here, quite a few minutes, but close nonetheless. Jude 20 says, and ye, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. People who pray in tongues every day are more successful in the things of God than people who cannot be bothered. Did you hear that? Jude 20 says, ye, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you don't pray in tongues every day, I'm surprised you made it here. You've got a dead battery. Your battery's dead. Praying in the Holy Ghost will charge your spiritual battery. It will give you energy to push through anything that comes against you. We pray in tongues every day. It's a supernatural gifting and gracing of the Spirit of God. You don't have to do it out loud and work. You'll get fired. Don't be foolish. You can do it quietly on the inside. Want to see how? I'm doing it, are you? I'm praying in tongues, charging up my spiritual battery, keeping the world outside forces, the world's contamination off me, charging up my battery for when I need it. You can pray out loud, bro, go seki perade seki perdoshi kimano gidesa tikame baradesa tege peruga seminigisha tikame bra. It's hardly a day Barbara and I don't pray together in other tongues. That's why I'm so anointed. Come on, just a little pulpit humor, but I am anointed. You know by whom? The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God called me to the area of my greatest weakness, talking to people. Now you can't shut me up. It's the Holy Ghost within me. Amen. Look right here in Romans chapter 8. Jesus died by the power of the eternal Spirit. He also lives again by the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him... Who? Spirit of Him. That's the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised Christ Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth within you. Do you see the Holy Spirit rose Jesus from the dead? Jesus was completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He needed the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to live, to teach, to preach, to heal, cast out demons, die, and raise again. Hallelujah. It's one thing to have Jesus the Savior living on the inside of you. But it's another experience altogether to have the power Jesus had living in Him, living in you, baby. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 to His disciples, He said, ye shall receive power once the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God wants to fill you with power today. I said God wants to fill you with power today to live, to heal the sick, cast out unclean spirits, learn the Scripture, die and raise again from the dead. You're going to die one day, you know. But don't worry, that's if Jesus tarries, amen? You're going to have to face death one day. But not to fear. There'll be grace there when it's time. Corrie ten Boom, when she was a little girl, she said to her daddy, Daddy, what's it like to die? I'm afraid. What is it like to die? I'm afraid. He said, Corrie, you don't need to be afraid. Why don't I need to be afraid, Daddy? Because God will give you grace when the time comes. Don't worry about it. When the time comes, grace will come. You'll have worried for nothing. She said, what's grace, Daddy? And he explained to her, it's God's ability in you to do what you aren't able to do without Him. He said, Corrie, you know when we go to Amsterdam on the train, and I let you hold the tickets just before we get on the train? Do I give you the tickets the day before we go to the train? Or do I give them to you 2 days before? Or do I give them to you just before we get on the train? And she said, you give me the tickets just before we get on the train, Daddy. And he said, in the same way, God will give you the grace to die just before it's time for you to die. Not 2 or 3 days before, not 3 or 4 years before, but just when it's time, the grace will come. By whom? The Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that enabled Jesus to die. Amen? So don't waste your time worrying about what am I going to do when the time comes. You're going to receive His grace. The Holy Spirit will be there, and you'll just lay there and say, whew! This was easier than I thought it was going to be. Next thing you know, you're in heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You find yourself standing there saying, whew, glad I don't have to do that again. Live on the earth, I mean. Amen? The Holy Spirit will give you grace. Would you stand up, please? If Jesus was dependent upon the Holy Spirit, you are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He was sent by the Holy Spirit, begotten of the Holy Spirit, trained by the Holy Spirit, tested by the Holy Spirit, performed miracles by the Holy Spirit, offered Himself by the Holy Spirit, was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Raise your hand if you're born again. Hallelujah. Ray, put your hand up if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If you would do that, please. I want to make sure everybody in this room is born again. Amen. I know Rachel is born again. Rachel, you say, Jesus, you are my choice. Hallelujah. That's all it takes. Amen. Now, if you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, you want to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking with other tongues. God wants to confirm this word today and fill you with His Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask you to not be shy. Come up here and receive the baptism of power. If Jesus was so dependent upon the Holy Spirit, you and I were even more dependent. Now, I know for a fact that the majority of people in this room are baptized with the Holy Spirit. I don't know that all are. If you want to receive the baptism of power to get through this life successfully and powerfully, come right up, Timothy. If you want to receive the baptism with power, are you raising your hand because you want to receive? You're praising God. Hallelujah. You're praising God because He's born again. Everybody put their hand down. Tim wanted everybody to know, I am born again. Are you paying attention? Hallelujah. If you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and you want to receive a fresh anointing of power, the Bible says in Psalm 92:10, For Thou, O Lord, will anoint me with fresh oil from heaven. If you want to receive a touch of heaven, fresh oil from heaven, a boost of power from the Holy Ghost, this is your time. Don't walk out of here and get home and say, why in the world did I stand there worried about what everybody else was thinking and not what the Holy Ghost was wanting to do for me? Amen. You come here right now. You come here right now. Just line right up here. I'm going to touch you. I don't have to talk to you. You don't have to talk to me. Hallelujah. You can if you want to. Hallelujah. I'm going to lay my hands on you, and you are going to receive fresh oil from heaven. Hallelujah. Fresh oil from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As these people receive a touch from God and they return to their seats, I want to encourage every person in this room to take advantage of the Spirit of God, which you heard here today, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you come as well, and you receive fresh oil from heaven. Amen? That's not going to take wrestling. I'm just going to put my hand on you, and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and things are going to be different. If you will believe, you expect the power to come into you. Amen? In Jesus' name, fresh oil, Lynn. Fresh oil from heaven. Fresh oil. Hallelujah. So God be ready. Hallelujah. Let me just pray over everyone in this room. Holy Spirit of God, now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just believe. You believe with me. I ask you to confirm the word they've heard preached here today with miracles in their lives. I take authority over tumors and growths and cancers and blood diseases in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I take authority over all sickness, all disease, nerve diseases, bone diseases in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, diseases on internal organs. Cancers in Jesus' name. You go from these people. I break your power off their finances, off their families. And Father, I impart your blessing, the blessing of the Holy Ghost into their entire household. And I decree over them as a result of what they're hearing here again today, what they continue to hear. Things are no longer happening to them, but things are now happening for them in Jesus' name. If you had a growth on your body, you feel it in Jesus' name. You feel in that area in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You give us a good report as soon as you can. You just receive. Receive. Receive as I release my faith on your behalf in every realm of your existence. Whatever it is you need. Whatever it is you need to be rid of. In Jesus' name, you just receive it.